This is a Web Canopy Studio production.
Hey everybody, welcome. Another episode of Dropping the Gloves with John Scott and Tim Wurzberger. I hope everyone's doing. Tim, I was going to introduce you and say how you doing. You're gonna be patience.
All right.
What I tell my kids 1,000 times a day, patience.
Start it over then.
Patience. No, Tim, how you doing?
I am fine. How are you?
I'm doing good. Very good. We're at a nice Friday afternoon here. Going to have a late episode drop, but it's okay. It's okay. So, we're going to do a quick one. We have an exciting guest coming on a little later, Natalie Spooner.
Ever heard of her?
She's a gold medal winner, silver medal winner. She's won like a gazillion silver medals in the world championships.
She won a gold in the world championship
too.
She
did. Yep. But she's been on a streak of silvers. The USA has really kind of taken over women's hockey the last 5 or 6 years. So,
who do you root for when you watch?
Canada, obviously. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Always Canada in the international games, without a doubt.
All right.
That's what I grew up doing that. So I'm not going to change. But anyway, she'll be joining us. Very interesting. She's going to the All-Star game. So we'll talk about that a little bit, maybe 3-on-3, maybe, I don't know. Women's hockey, they're always doing something, women's hockey, whether it's Canada versus USA, their professional league, their international stuff. They have these tours that go around the country. It seems like they don't have an off-season women's hockey. They're just playing all the time.
I mean, for better or worse, there's always something to talk about there.
Yeah.
You know.
So it's great. I think, you know, it's a good thing they're going to the All-Star game. It just gets more eyes on their sport, which is huge. And hopefully something good comes from it. You never know. But anyways, we'll chat with her a little later. Right now, we'll try to burn through some of the big line items that have been happening around the league. I don't know. What do you want to touch on first?
Let's start with the All-Star game. You already mentioned it. Coming up in about 2 weeks. Big news in the last couple of days was the head coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, Gallant, was fired, which is interesting because they were only like 2 points out of a wild card spot. It's not like they're tanking, and it's not like the Sharks situation. It's so different from that.
It's the league has turned into a what have you done for me lately league.
Yeah.
This guy was a Jack Adams Award winner 2 years ago. They had a good year last year. They're having a decent year this year, and they fire him. The worst thing to happen to coaches was when the St. Louis Blues and the Pittsburgh Penguins fire their coaches midseason and they go on a run to win the Stanley Cup with a new coach. Because now every GM has that in the back of their head and they think, that's what our team needs. We're struggling a little bit. We're going to change coaches and then we're going to take off and we're going to win the cup. And it's happening. And this is what's happening in Vegas.
Do you know anything about his reputation among the players? Is he like a well-liked and respected guy?
From what I've heard, the players love him.
He's a player's coach.
I just spit all over you, Tim. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I dodged it.
You did. Your reflexes. But players like him. He is a old school coach where he demands you work hard, but he will reward guys for working hard. He kind of doesn't take any flack from opposing teams. If a opposing player takes a run at one of his top guys, he takes care of it. That's why he has Ryan Reeves. He's always had tough guys on his team. When he was in Florida, he had Michael Haley. Like, he likes that style of play. He has Derek England on the back end. Like, he is an old school type of coach who, you know, the players respect. I'm surprised he got fired. I really am. And then to bring in DeBoer right away after all the rivalries they've had in the last few years and the comments that the both coaches have made to each other on the ice, in the papers, like it's funny that they would bring DeBoer in. It's very strange.
And then obviously the big question was, we have a John Scott situation.
Right.
He was supposed to coach the Pacific team in the All-Star game. They're kind of like, okay, there's some precedent for this because of you, but there's nothing for coaches.
So
there was a lot of questions. It was up in the air for a couple of days. I know you volunteered your services, right?
The NHL hates fun. They honestly, it would have been so fun to go in there and be like, hey, guess who's back? But
yeah,
they made the right choice. Talk it, you know, Arizona's in first place in the Pacific Division. I get it. So, he's another good coach, Rick Tocchet. I like him. But it would have been fun.
You mean like, as in you, two of you? You and him are both good coaches?
No, I've never coached anything or anyone a day in my life.
It was funny. We got a couple of tweets that was like, this would be John Scott coaching the team would be hilarious. It would be like the fans would love it. It would be, it just makes sense. So you know the NHL is not going to do it.
Not going to do it at all. Yeah. Yeah. It's, and I understand why they don't do it. I have no interaction with the NHL at all anymore. So they're not going to just call me out of the blue to come and have fun. Like they don't want fun. They don't want a distraction from the serious game that is the All-Star game. It's a very serious game. It means a lot. There's a lot at stake. The players, they are very serious when they go to that game.
It's making and breaking careers a lot lately.
It you is. Know, it really is. No, what happens is guys get voted into the All-Star game and they go, ugh, I already made plans. I was already had my tickets booked for Hawaii. Now I'm voted in. What do I do? Do I have to go? Maybe I'll fake an injury. We'll see what happens. So,
what's your take on guys sitting out and taking the one-game suspension?
I don't mind it. I think, especially if they've gone a few times, 5, 6, 7 times, I think it's even good for the fans. You've seen those players in the game for so many years. It's nice to see fresh faces. It's good to see guys in skills competitions who you would never see. But when you have a guy like Ovechkin or Crosby or those guys, they've been in it every single year. They get bored of it. The fans know what they're going to do. They don't think it's exciting anymore. But you get a young kid in there who's like excited to be there. He's going to want to prove that he deserves to be there. He's going to want to, you know, showcase his skills. So I don't mind it. I don't think they should get a game suspension. I think they, if anything, should get a fine, half a game's paycheck or something. You know, you shouldn't suspend him a game. That's, to me, that's insane. If the NHL is saying we're trying to grow the game, we want to showcase our talent, but then you suspend a player for a regular season game that it will affect his team in the regular season for a showcase game that doesn't mean anything. Do you know what I mean?
You're changing the rules a little bit.
This is, yeah, just because you want that player to benefit the NHL, right? They want the All-Star game to be a success, so they're going to take away from the actual regular season where games mean something. It's very strange. It's self-serving. The NHL just, I don't know, they just make up the rules. If you wrong them, they're gonna suspend you. Anyways, it is what it is. I think if Ovechkin goes or not, the All-Star game is gonna be successful. If Crosby's there, it's not gonna have a bump in the ratings if those two go or not. If you're a hockey fan, you're gonna watch the All-Star game. The only All-Star game in history where non-hockey fans watched was my All-Star game, arguably, because it was such a random story. It's not going to happen again. Non-hockey fans are not going to all of a sudden turn on the All-Star game because, oh, Ovechkin's going to be there.
Yeah.
I'm watching because Ovi's there. Or fans aren't going to go, I'm not watching, Ovi's not going to be there. It's not going to make or break the game. Anyways, moving on. It's sad Gallant's done. It's just, I don't know. It's a weird league.
Do you think he finds a job pretty soon?
Right away.
Yeah.
Right away. I think he will have no problem finding a job, and there might be one open in Seattle. So we'll see how it goes. He is a very, very, very good coach. The players respond to him. He took an expansion team to the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's amazing.
And I know they had good players, but it's not like they had high-end guys. All the good players were protected. Like they took – it was like the Bad News Bears. They took a ragtag group of cast-offs – and he took them to the Stanley Cup Finals. They almost won the cup. He did a great job with that team, and he did it last year. They were a good team last year. Fleury's been struggling this year. They haven't had the same kind of mojo that they usually do, but he'll have no problem finding a new job. No problem whatsoever.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, what else? We have Cassian. The hit.
Everyone wants to know your take on this.
First of all, I am on Team Cassian. I think... But it's tough. I like the way Tkachuk plays the game to a point. I love the aggressiveness. I love the hitting. I love the trash talk. Where he loses me is not answering the bell when I feel like he should. I've heard James Neal's comments. I've heard Cassian's comments. I've heard Tkachuk's comments. I don't mind what Tkachuk says in the media. He's just stirring that pot. He is in Cassian's kitchen. He's making breakfast. He is exactly where he wants to be. What I would love to see out of him is to fight Cassian. Just to say, oh, all right, I'm going to pay the piper. We're going to fight. Tkachuk's not a small guy. It's not like he is 180 pounds and a skill guy. He is a solid man, and he would do fine fighting. It would go a long way in the eyes of the players if he dropped the mitts and say, let's go. You know, it's just like when it's not to the same extent. You remember when Claude Lemieux nailed Draper from behind?
Yeah.
He knew he had to fight the next year. He fought McCarty. He said, all right, we're going to go. We're going. He paid the piper. He didn't have to fight. He probably didn't want to fight, but he knew he was going to have to fight. So that's what he did. And a lot of players respected him for that. If Tkachuk drops the gloves and fights Cassian next game, I think this whole story will go away and the players will earn a little more respect for Tkachuk. Because right now, the players, no respect whatsoever.
Yeah, but on the other hand, we talked about this. Like, should players expect to have to drop the gloves every time they make a big hit? No.
That hit the league has tried to take out of the game. The forward coming down on the defenseman, who's a defenseless player or forward, they're not expecting to be hit by the forward coming down the boards. That is a hit that the NHL has tried to take out of the game. Rafi Torres used to do it. Steve Downey used to do it. Derek Boogaard used to do it. I like to do it because whoever's rounding that net, they're getting defended by the defenseman. They're not expecting someone to come down on them. They're expecting that forward to stay high, stay in the middle, not overpressure down low and like give up their position. And that's what Tkachuk did twice in a row. The NHL has said they want those hits out of the game. It's a blindside hit. More often than not, the player is not expecting it, and they get injured. So I'm all for big hits in the open ice when you are like you're available to get hit. Those two hits, I feel like, were not needed. The first hit was the one I actually have issue with. That was a suspendable hit. He nails his head. Cassian does a 360. Cassian, what's going on with his helmet too, by the way?
I didn't notice.
There's just buckets off every time he gets hit. Yeah. It just like sheds his helmet.
Well, he's bald, right? He's got no traction there.
Is that why?
Yeah.
See, you have a full head of hair. You never lose your helmet.
Oh, God, no. It's like Velcro.
It's Velcro's right. But anyways, and then this is what's happened. Cassian gets hit the first time, gets his bell rung, dirty hit. Should have been a penalty. If that's a penalty right there, the whole thing is over with. I don't think Tkachuk hits him the second time in a 3-3 game after he's already taken one penalty. I don't think he pinches down again and hits him again. He doesn't get penalized. The next time he has Cassian in that position, because he didn't get penalized the first time, Kachuk's, boom, green light. I'm allowed to make this hit. Goes down and buries him again. Exact same hit. The second one might be a little more cleaner this time. Cassian again looks around. No penalty, no arm going up. I got to protect myself. I'm going after the kid. And he tries to fight him. There's no way that should be a suspension whatsoever. You know, I don't understand. He doesn't land a punch. He ragdolls him a little bit, but he doesn't land a punch or anything.
But speaking of that, we talked last week about the code, and you said one of the dirtiest things you can do is grab the guy's shoulder and slew him, which is what Cassian did.
An unsuspecting Tkachuk knew he was coming after him. Tkachuk, if
it's still from behind,
I will take umbrage to that because Tkachuk knew Cassian was coming after him. He knew exactly what was happening. He could have faced him. He should have faced him and at least turtled facing him. But when Cassian's coming after you, you don't just stand there and turn the other way and act like, I don't know, like dummy. Like, don't do that. Like, man up, face the kid, like, or skate away. Don't just stand there and turn around. It happened in last night's game, San Jose, Colorado. Jumbo and Kadri were going at it. San Jose was down 4-0. Jumbo was in a bad mood. Kadri's a pest. They were going at it, and there was a scrum. Landeskog comes in and just, like, hogties Timo Meier from behind and, like, cranks his neck around and throws him down. It might not have been Meier. It might have been, gosh, Noser, whatever his name is. Really dangerous play, and I saw it. I was just like, what is going on here? Landeskog, I don't know if we can put a link up or something, but it is such a dirty play. And no, I don't think Cassian did anything wrong in that regard. I think the NHL steps in, and I don't think George Parros wants to suspend him. I think the NHL does not like Cassian. I don't think they like players like him. They just throw two games at him.
What about Tkachuk? I've heard he doesn't have the best reputation among players in the league. A lot of guys don't respect him, I mean, even more after this incident probably, but it's not the first time he's done something like this.
They hate him. They hate him. They think he's a loose cannon out there who just goes around and buries guys in dangerous positions. Tom Wilson hits guys. I don't feel like he hits guys in vulnerable positions. He might do it once in a while. Tkachuk consistently does it. Whether you're 3 feet from the boards, he's pinching down on guys. He did Doughty, the Doughty thing.
Yeah.
Doughty's one of the best defensemen in the league, and he almost injures him. And it's just, he's only been in the league for a handful of years, and he's already built this reputation, and no one's checked him. No one's suspended him. No one's really kept him in line.
Plus, Wilson will answer the bell, too.
Yes. Yes. And I don't know if Tkachuk doesn't like fighting. I don't know if he's tough or not. Maybe he's been in some fights that I've never seen, but he doesn't. He's not getting good reputation around the league. And it's just, it is what it is. He needs to step up and fight or just stop doing it. Marchand will fight sometimes.
Yep.
Right?
Torrey Krug fought last night.
Yeah. Could he fought, what do you
call Hornquist.
Yeah, Hornquist.
Yeah.
Terrible fight.
Yeah.
But still, he fought.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you are going to toe the line and step over the line, either A, the NHL needs to poop or get off the pot. You're going to control the game. You want to get fighting out of the league. You have to control situations like this. You cannot let players get away with hits like that.
I wonder, too, like how much power does Parros actually have?
None at all.
He's just the face of this, right?
He has no power at all. Yeah. That's what I think. I think Bettman put him there because he's like, listen, look, I have a fighter. He's going to understand the players. The players are going to relate to him. He's a fighter, you guys. You can't get mad at the suspensions. Bettman makes all the decisions, him and Daly. That's what I firmly believe. I could be wrong, but I truly believe anytime there's a suspension, they tell George what to do. George doesn't do anything.
Speaking of Marchand,
ouch.
Did you see his penalty shot the other night?
I did. It just brings me so much joy to see that happen. It really, really does.
It was embarrassing. And then last night, he had a breakaway and didn't get a shot off.
Really?
There was like no one was even in the blue line. There was no one near him, and he didn't get a shot off. He like lost the puck and went into the corner.
Really?
Yeah.
He's already on All-Star break.
Maybe. So then Antti Netter, Pastrnak, like held the shot and gave it to Marchand instead.
Then he missed it.
No, he scored. And you can see him on the bench after being like, thanks, buddy, I needed that. A little slump buster.
It must be nice to be that good where you just get every game an opportunity at an empty net.
Yeah.
Right? It must be nice. I know when I was in San Jose, we were always seemed like we were down a goal in the third period all the time. After the first like 4 months of the season, I was like, Jumbo, your minus is pretty bad. He's like, yeah, I've been on for 9 empty net goals.
No way.
He's like, that's -9. I'm like, oh man, that stinks.
Do you remember when Lucic was his most effective and he was one of the most effective players in the league in his prime? But there was one year he had 30 goals playing on Savard's wing and he had like 12 empty net goals.
Really?
It was something silly like that.
It's just those goals should have an asterisk beside them, I think. Well, I got one of them, so maybe they shouldn't.
Best one ever.
Best one ever. But yeah, that penalty shot, how do you miss the puck?
It was crazy.
And it's not like he was showboating and like trying to kick it or backhand it. It was his forehand.
And if he missed it completely, he could have gone again, but he just grazed it enough.
Like, you could not do that if you tried. If you tried to line up a penalty shot 10 times to just push that puck,
just give a little kiss.
Literally 2 inches like he did, you could not do it. That's a challenge. I'll try to do it. There's no way you can do that. It's funny. It was very satisfying to hear Jack Edwards go, oh, I think he touched it. Ah, suck it, Jack. But it's just funny. Speaking of Boston. Okay, so I do this cameo thing, right?
Yeah.
Where people pay me and I send them a message and it's great and everyone loves it. So if you want a message for me, go on Cameo, look up my name and I'll give you a personalized message. Anyways, there's this guy or a group of guys, I would assume guys, could be women as well. They want me to decide where they're going to do their fantasy hockey draft.
No way, that's cool.
Yeah, so they did a vote, and I guess the league is tied. It's a deadlock. The two options are Boston and Nashville. And I get the deciding vote on where this fantasy group does their draft.
Will they make a weekend out of it?
I guess so. So I don't know where to go because I enjoy Nashville, but I also really like Boston.
You must not have too long to decide, right? How long do they give you to do the cameo?
Like a couple days.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing their draft. I don't know when it is, but I don't know. I just got it yesterday. So I don't know who to pick. Like I want to lean towards Nashville, but I also think Boston is such a great town.
They're both great. Nashville's very touristy. It's very, I don't know. I feel like it used to be like the cool city to go to, and now everyone and their grandmother goes to Nashville.
It's kind of turned into Vegas a little bit.
Yeah.
Where it's just not as exciting. I think I might sway towards Boston.
Tell them to come to Traverse City instead. They're a little curveball in there.
No, I don't want anybody else here. No, do not come to Traverse City. Well, you're obviously biased. You would pick Boston. But honestly, if you had to go to a city with all your friends for two nights, which city would you go to?
It would be Nashville.
It'd be not really, really.
Yeah.
Because it's more condensed and everything's right there.
It's more of a party city too, I think. It's like if you want to have a good time for 2 days and it's not like seeing like cultural stuff isn't important to you and you want to go out with your buddies, I would say Nashville.
All right. You have convinced me. I'm going to respond and I'll say Nashville. All right. That's it. That's the vote. All right. Well, we got to get to the Spooner interview. Unless you have anything else, Tim.
No, let's hear from Natalie.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. And I hope everyone has a good weekend. Cheers. Welcome back, everybody. Natalie Spooner is joining us. It's a really big honor. This is our first gold medal winner joining us. Actually, no, we had Patrick Marlowe on. Never mind. Our second gold medal winner joining us. Natalie Spooner, thanks for joining us. How you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. So where are you talking to us from right now?
I'm currently at home in Toronto. I had camp this week, but I'm home now for a few days before we go to the All-Star weekend next weekend.
And that's camp for Team Canada, correct?
Yes, we just had like a mini camp in Toronto.
Oh, nice.
Played some exhibition games, got some games under our belt.
Cool. So, okay, you brought it up. This whole All-Star game, how did this even come about?
To be honest, I just got an email asking if I would go, and I wasn't too sure if it was for real at first, and I was like, I didn't even think twice. I was like, obviously, yes, that would be amazing. It's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, I think, and I'm excited to go. It's pretty cool what they've done and that they've stepped up and are, you know, letting us come and do a 3-on-3 to showcase our talent. Obviously this year we don't have a league to play in, so it really is all about, you know, showcasing the women's game and getting it out there, just how good it's become and how fast and how skilled the players are. So this is just kind of another layer of doing that and making sure that people, you know, see us playing and can see the talent and hopefully grow that fan base.
Yeah, so will it be, do you know if it'll be on the Saturday, on the Friday, on the Sunday? What's the schedule looking like?
So we actually haven't got our schedule yet, but I think it's on the Friday before the skills competition for the guys, maybe.
That's cool. That's exciting. Sense? Yeah, no, that does make sense. Yeah. That's going to be great. I think people will be surprised at just how much the gap has closed when it comes to speed and talent and overall just enjoyability when watching the women's game versus the men's game. Because I know when I was a kid, the women's game wasn't as good as the men's game. And I think that's just was the product that there wasn't many girls' leagues growing up and this and that. But man, I skate with you sometimes at charity events and the women's, like, you guys are so, so good. It's amazing. The speed, the skill level, the talent, the physicality. People always think women's hockey is not physical. It's so cool. And what should fans be looking to expect when they see you guys? Because you don't play 3-on-3, correct? This is going to be something totally foreign, I would imagine.
Yeah, something totally new. I mean, overtimes, like we've played 3-on-3 before, but this is obviously something totally new to play kind of an actual game 3-on-3 and to, you know, only have 10 players on a roster. But I think, yeah, they should expect lots of speed. Obviously, it is still a physical game, even though we can't, like, lower our shoulders or do open ice hits. I think you'll see quite a bit of that. And also just a ton of skill. I think when you think about women's hockey, because we don't have those fighters, we don't have those big, I guess, like, what you would consider yourself maybe in the
careful,
hockey game.
Careful.
It is a game of speed and skill. And to be honest, I think the NHL players are even coming more towards the female game. As time goes on, you're seeing less of those big, tough fighters, and you're seeing more smaller, skilled, fast guys. And I think that that's what you'll see out of our game is there's so much skill and lots of speed. I think people who have maybe never seen a game before will be pleasantly surprised.
I hope so. I hope this brings on a whole new fan base, because circling back to what you said earlier about there is no league for you guys this year. So the CWHL folded, and you guys are kind of left on an island where you have all these great players and there's nowhere to play. So you guys started, well, I shouldn't say you guys, the PWHPA started the Dream Gap Tour, correct?
Yeah. So what happened was, it was actually last year at World Championships in April. We were in Finland, like obviously all the Canadian, all the American players. And we got a phone call saying that the CWHL was folding for the following year, which definitely shocked us. We thought that we had kind of had our best year yet. We had the All-Star game in Toronto at Scotiabank Arena, which had like a huge crowd. We had the Clarkson Cup final on TV. Like, we had quite a few games actually aired on TV. So we were totally blindsided, but we came together as players and created the PWHAPA, and then decided, you know, we still needed to play even though we didn't have a league, because if we wanted to represent our countries and to continue growing as players, we couldn't just, you know, not be playing games.
You got
to
be visible.
So we, exactly. So we created the Dream Gap Tour, where there's different showcases. We've had some in the US, some in Canada, and there's more coming up, and also just some other exhibition games on the side to make sure that, you know, these little girls out there can still see us playing and realize that there is somewhere for women's hockey that they can grow up dreaming of playing in. And, you know, what we're doing now, it probably might not, you know, pan out for us, but hopefully it's those little girls that are coming out to support us that they can then play professional women's hockey as a career when they're older.
Does it, like, ever kind of give you goosebumps almost, where you realize, like, well, I might be, like, trailblazing a whole new sport, like Billie Jean King for tennis? Like, you might be the trailblazer for professional women's hockey, which is crazy to think about when you, you know, God willing, you're 95 years old sitting in a chair and you can look back and there's a fully functioning women's league. Is it cool to think about that you're, like, taking the lumps now, or do you wish it was just, like, super easy and you could just, like, start right now? I don't know. It's so cool that you're doing this. I don't know if you can't even answer that, but it's just, like, it's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you don't really think about it while you're in it. You're just kind of in it, and you're doing the best that you can to help grow the game and to get it, you know, where it needs to be. And I guess it's scary sometimes, for sure, also, because we did have a league, and it's, you know, what if we had those sponsors before, and would that league have kept going? Or, you know, so I think there's a lot of different moving parts, but I think we also think about, okay, when the NHL started up 103 years ago or whatever it was, like, they had to start somewhere too. So whatever we're going to start next, hopefully it's going to be around for 100 plus years and be the league that, you know, everyone dreams of playing in as a young girl.
So, pie in the sky, best case scenario, what happens with women's hockey in the next 5 years? Like, what is the best possible outcome in the next 5 years?
Oh boy, best possible. I mean, I think if we could have a league next year to play in, that would be amazing. You know, something that had the infrastructure, that had the support, that we could get, you know, visibility towards it, but also that women could have hockey as a career. I think, like, right now it's kind of a bit of a double-edged sword when you look at women's hockey, because you have all these amazing players, but they also have to have jobs. So it's like, if these women could solely focus on hockey, I think the level of women's hockey would also take off, because they'd be training and being able to play so much more instead of having to work about, like, thinking about their job at the same time. So I think that that would be something that would not only help women's hockey, but, you know, help female sports. If we could have a league happen next year, that would be best case scenario.
Yeah. So
we'll see if it happens.
Gary Bettman, my best friend, he has made comments where he's basically not committing to helping you guys. I don't think he wants to get involved myself, but he'll say things like, well, if there was no professional women's league available, then the NHL could potentially step in if it was opportune for us. Now, what that says to me is, well, if there was nothing, we might step in and try to help them out. But they're not going to do it if it's not financially, you know, good for them. Does it make you guys want to just fold both leagues and then take a shot at it? Or are you just kind of under the impression the NHL, they'll help us here and there, but they're not going to really start a league for us?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak on the other league, what they have going on. I mean, for us, we would obviously love the NHL to be involved. I think they have the infrastructure, they have the teams. It could kind of be that WNBA setup, that we could have a WNHL, and I think that that would be amazing. I mean, Gary Bettman, obviously, he said those things. I think at the end of the day, he's a businessman. He's a very smart man, and look how far he's brought the NHL, you know. Well,
smart is a loose term.
But doing a lot of different things to get the NHL out there, you know, outdoor games, different kind of things. And so I think that he's probably not going to go into anything and that he doesn't have to, or that he doesn't real isn't prepared to do, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that. He sees
how good the product is, you know, how good women's hockey has become and how good it is, and that people do want to watch it, and that, you know, under the NHL that we could just grow into something that's pretty amazing.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the WNBA, and they just this past year signed a brand new CBA that was kind of groundbreaking for women's sports, where they have higher salaries, benefits, like improved travel. Like, they really are growing that sport to where when it first came in to inception, like 15 years ago, it was not on anyone's radar. Now they're nationally televised. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a pretty big deal. Do you guys look at the WNBA like kind of the standard where you just try to follow what they've done?
For sure. I mean, I think that they're kind of paving the way here. And this week with the announcement of that CBA, I mean, they had to start somewhere. And you were saying not many people heard about it at first, but look where they are now. And I mean, the top players are making $500,000, which is, you know, way more than we would expect to make at all. But like, that's amazing. They are getting so much more coverage, even just everything they're doing. I mean, the word is getting out there, but they're also paving ways for women and not even women athletes, because I don't know if you saw, like, they're getting 2-bedroom apartments for kids, people that have kids. They're giving support through family planning. So this is going to sound crazy, but freezing your eggs or adoption, whatever it is. And I think that that's a lot of things that male hockey players or male athletes don't have to think about, that, you know, as female athletes, if you want to play as long as you can, those are things you're definitely going to have to think about.
Yeah,
so they're really paving the way here for female athletes.
Full pay for maternity leave. So yeah, if you do get pregnant, mm-hmm. you still get your paycheck. I think that's really great because, yeah, it's a completely different, obviously, men are different from women, obviously. So there are mm-hmm. different things to think about. So anyways, I think that's awesome. Let's just move on to the lighter side of things. You just competed in Battle of the Blades.
Yes, I did.
How did that go? Because we talked about this. I got asked to do that, but I had to decline. Was it fun? Was mm-hmm. it difficult? How did that go?
It was a blast. It was definitely a lot of fun. Pretty crazy at first, thinking that I was going to be on toe picks and on figure skates. I think coming off of my skates for the first time, like being lifted and swung around, was very scary, because in hockey, you don't really ever leave your feet that much. So, but I mean, it was so much fun. The cast was amazing. My partner, we had so much fun every day. It was definitely long training days. Like, we were on the ice for like 3 to 4 hours a day for figure skating. And then I'd go to hockey practice at night and do that day in and day out and play on weekends. So it was a crazy few months, but it was so much fun just to get out on the ice and do something so different and a different way, I guess, it was a blast.
So one of the main issues why I didn't do it was my wife wasn't too comfortable with like the touching, the grabbing, the sexual kind of tension, I guess, they put on the partners. So how did your fiance feel about that, of another guy, like, you know, throwing you up and grabbing you and all like that? Was there any issues there between you and him?
I mean, he didn't love it, like watching it. But I think at the end of the day, like, he realized that it's a performance, and you know, I was out there trying to do the best that I could. And I think whenever I do something, I dive headfirst right into it and do the best that I can. And I kind of took that on with figure skating. Was like, I'm just going to get into this character and you're going to believe that I'm a figure skater, kind of the fake it till you make it. But obviously, yeah, it's definitely a weird situation. And I think figure skating is so different than hockey, because hockey is like you have so many teammates. You can always lean on something, someone different every day, or talk to different people. And now you're in a sport where it's only you and your partner, and you're literally relying on that person. And I had to trust my partner not to drop me, or, you know, to make sure that I was safe out there. So that's, it's already like formed this bond right off the bat as soon as you start lifting and doing those things. So it was definitely totally different. I had to actually think about what I looked like on the ice and not just think about getting from point A to B or putting the puck in the net. Now I had to like keep my shoulders down, keep my head up, smile. I think smiling was the hardest thing to remember to smile. So I just had a permy smile after that. They're like, your focus face is now a smiling face. So there was a lot of little things to remember, but it was so much fun.
That's cool. That's cool. I don't think I'll ever do it, but I'm glad you had a good experience. That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, maybe after the six kids get older.
Maybe.
Maybe a little too busy.
I know. I'm way too busy to even step on the ice here. All right, so a couple more. Listen, I have a serious question. Okay. So I obviously have daughters. I want them to get into hockey. You got a scholarship. Mm-hmm. Did you play with the boys growing up, I would assume?
I didn't.
You did not?
I didn't. I played 1 year boys when I was four. I actually quit hockey when I was 4 years old, if you wouldn't believe it, and I still go to power skating in my snowsuit. But by the time I was five, I joined a girls team because another girl showed up at my power skating and she was on a girls team. So like, I'm from Toronto area, so girls hockey was started a little bit earlier. So yeah, from the age that I was five, I was playing girls hockey.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you if you ever experienced any kind of like just sexism or anything where like a guy or a coach or other players like just said something inappropriate or told you to quit or said girls don't belong. I was just interested on your take in that, if you've ever had anything like that.
You know, in hockey, I was pretty lucky that I didn't have to face a lot of that. I think like the biggest thing in women's hockey is that, you know, when you say, oh, I want to be a hockey player, I want to become a hockey player, if you were asking a guy, they would say, oh yeah, like that's awesome, follow your dream, go play in the NHL. But if I said, oh, I want to be a hockey player, they'd be like, but what do you actually want to do? Like, what is your actual career? You know, which I still say I'm a hockey player, even though I have to do other things on the side to make a living. But I think that, you know, that's something that definitely will change. I think sexism, actually the first time I really felt it was when I was figure skating. After I lost in the finals, a guy asked me, oh, so you've lost a lot of weight on the show. And I think I'd maybe lost like 3 or 4 pounds, like really not a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at him like, the guys on the show had lost like 30 pounds. And I'm like, you would have never asked them that. Cause like I was already in shape. Like there was not really much weight to lose. Whereas the hockey guys hadn't been, they were retired.
They were a little retired.
Obviously, they hadn't been training for as long. So they like lost weight and I got asked this and I looked at them like, am I supposed to answer this? Like, I'm like, maybe I've lost some of my hockey muscles and got some like figure skating muscles or something. I look a little bit different, but that was a really odd question that I got from figure skating. And I was like, they're really definitely a different sport.
Different standard.
I don't have the protection of my hockey equipment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just the way of the world. I'm slowly realizing that as my daughters get older, it's like, man, women just have to deal with so much different stuff than I had to. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, okay. So you got the All-Star game coming up. And then after that, you're going right into that rivalry series with the USA. You got games in Victoria, Vancouver, Anaheim at the beginning of February. What's going on with Team Canada? Why are we not winning anymore? Natalie?
I mean, it's hard to answer. I feel like we have such an amazing team. We have the talent. And sometimes when we get against the U.S., it's just – I mean, we beat them the 2 games in Pittsburgh right before the first 2 games of the rivalry series. And then we lost those 2 games. So these 3 games will be really big for us. I mean, I think we're trending the right way. We have so many amazing players. There's lots of young, great players coming up. We just got to be able to bring it in those big games. And I think that's, you know, what we're looking to do now is figuring out how do we make sure that, you know, there's those games leading up to it, but we got to bring it when we hit those games against the U.S.
Do you think it's because the top players on Canada are doing reality TV shows and not focused in on hockey. Do you think that might be it, Natalie?
No, not at all, because hockey is still my priority.
I'm teasing. Well, listen, I wish you all the best. I hope, you know, everything turns out. You're doing a good thing by trying to get the women's game going. I really, truly believe it's just such a very entertaining product, and if people just see it, they'll have, you know, their eyes will be open. So good luck at the All-Star game. If you need some tips on 3-on-3, let me know. I'm 1-0 at All-Star games. I don't know why people don't realize.
Yeah, I heard you might be there coaching or something.
We'll see.
Coaching,
you know,
specific team.
we're working on contracts right now. I'm very expensive these days. It's hard to pry me out of my house. So we'll see. If I'm there,
hopefully see you there.
Yes. All right, Natalie Spooner, everybody. Thank you so much, and good luck, Natalie. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.